Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, a Mercedes-Benz X250D 4MATIC Power Review Special Edition. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. What on earth is the silly voice? But more importantly, what on earth is this thing that you are describing to us then?
It's a pickup truck.
Oh, right, okay. So you had your 50-gallon hat on.
Well, I didn't actually. I threatened, but then I didn't have matching boots.
But pick up a Mercedes, come on.
Yeah. Well, the executive pickup market seems to exist. And this is Mercedes' take on it. It's their first pickup truck since the original G-Wagon pickup truck. Okay. So before the G-Wagon went all AMG'd. Way back in the sort of late 70s and early 80s, when I were but a lad, they did a sort of vaguely civilian pickup truck based on a G-Wagon. This isn't based on a G-Wagon. This actually is shares its body in white and its drivetrain on this X250D with the Nissan Navara.
Well, yes, because that's one of the things that people have said, haven't they? They've said it's just a reclothed Navara.
Well, the trouble is that I got caught saying this.
Ah, okay.
I got caught.
Sorry, I wasn't setting that up for you there.
But no,
I'm just generally going on Twitter and seeing what people say.
I made some gag about it being a three-pointed Nissan.
Mm.
And
where did you do that, Alan?
I did it rather too close to Carolyn, the nice PR lady from Mercedes.
So you did this to the Mercedes person?
Well, I didn't say it to the Mercedes person. I said it to someone else. I said it.
Were you in the Mercedes tent at the time?
I was just on the edge of it, yes. So anyway, at which point it was pointed out to me that it wasn't. And that I was wrong, and that I really should try one to show how wrong I was. And I'm not saying Mercedes. Let's get this out of the way now. I'm not saying Mercedes were bullish about how different it is in its suspension tuning and interior and all sorts of stuff from the Navara. But supposedly they actually took one along on a test on the launch to the UK launch. So that people could try them back to back if they wanted and if they still doubted. To me,
that
shows
quite brave.
Well, yes, it is.
Especially
and
with
it paid
some
off.
Of the motoring journalists we know.
Well, that was it.
It
was them that told me that, by the way. And that seems and it was them that was saying, no, don't you've got to try it.
Okay, well that's good.
So it shares the drivetrain, and in the case of mine, the automatic gearbox with the Navara. It shares the body in white with the Navara, and the A pillars and the shape. It's not, if you don't know that there is a close family resemblance, you wouldn't really pick up on it.
No, because the front end is very, this is a Mercedes.
Front end is very different. Yes, all 8 inches of it is very different. But the proportions are roughly the same. Well, that's, you know, sex sells. That's why I used that on Instagram. Have you only just got that joke? Yeah. Have you only just got that? My special one, clear off. So the proportions are the same, really, around the cab area. And it's only really when you park one right beside the other, like maybe I did in a hotel car park, for my own amusement, so that I could stand there and play spot the difference between them.
Okay.
Mostly so that I could stand there and go, okay, right, now I see that the shape of the windscreen's the same, the A-pillars are the same, the bit where the front side panel and the bonnet and the A-pillar all meet is exactly the same. But to be honest, don't be put off by that. Anyone who's slightly put off, don't be. Okay. This model at the minute, as available, there are two. There is the manual 220D 4MATIC, and there is the automatic 250D 4MATIC.
Okay.
Okay.
What did you have?
I had the automatic 250D, as you can tell by the name of the show. The 250D. There was, during the week that I had it, the X350D was actually launched for most of the week, people want it was under embargo, what it felt like. But the X350D has a Mercedes-Benz engine and drivetrain and permanent four-wheel drive. So it's got a six-cylinder diesel engine.
So what does that just pull? Basically moons out of orbits and things
like
that.
I don't know. I couldn't really find out, okay, to be honest, because it's not on the websites yet, and I don't have a copy of the press pack. And if I'd been organised, I would have asked for a copy of the press pack, but I wasn't because I'm me and I've been very busy bouncing around.
Yeah, but anyway, you had the 250. Sorry.
So I had the 250, which has a 2.3-litre four-cylinder diesel engine married to a seven-speed automatic gearbox, which has no modes. It's brilliant.
Did it need seven speeds?
It's got 7x2 because it's got a low ratio as well. So it's actually a 14-speed.
Well, it's like you're driving a lorry.
No, not at all, actually. Absolutely and totally not at all. Prices for the 220D start from £27,310 plus VAT and delivery and. Because it's a commercial vehicle, you don't have to quote it as an on-the-road price. Prices for the 250D start from £29,310.
Okay.
Which is, of course, auto. The base price of the one I drove, which was a Power, which is the top level of the three trims that are currently available, which are Pure, Progressive, and Power.
All right.
Its base price was £34,100 plus £600 delivery plus VAT. And as tested, it was £40,670. Try that again. Plus delivery plus VAT, which came to £49,524, including the delivery and VAT, but not including road fund license and number plates and all that kind of fun stuff that they always quote consumer vehicles.
Right. Okay. £50,000.
£50,000.
For a pickup.
Yeah. That was my reaction too, and I actually read the numbers. We'll go through the ones. There were about £6,000 worth of options on this.
Are you going to talk us through the options as we discuss?
We will go through the options as we discuss and how much each of them are. It's worth mentioning, the one I had was Kabara Black Metallic, which is £510 plus VAT.
Well, considering how massive that is, that's quite a...
I actually thought that was really good value.
Per square foot, that's not bad.
That's great. I know, especially Mercedes-Benz option prices. I thought that was a cracking deal. I have now lost the page I had open, which had... That was silly of me. Which had the colours... You can get red, white, and a dark green are standard. Okay. They're not subject to a colour tax. The rest
of
the...
Wow, that's mostly choice.
Yeah. The rest of the mostly monochromatic colours, plus brown, which was the colour of the one I was meant to have but didn't have because somebody damaged it. It's something bronze. It's got a fancy name and then bronze, which is really nice.
It would have looked cracking in the sun that we've had.
It would have. The trouble with the black, actually, was it was quite hard to photograph. Looked great, but it was quite hard to photograph, believe it or not. Total first world problems. So should we start with the exterior as usual?
Yeah, come on.
This is a big vehicle.
Now, when you say big, how big are you thinking?
Lengthwise.
Well,
5.3 meters, so about 2 feet longer than a car parking space.
That's a bit on
18
the,
inches to 2 feet
the lengthy side. Okay.
Width-wise, not really that bad. Perfectly reasonable at just over 2 meters, mirror tip to mirror tip, 1.9 meters, excluding the mirrors. And because I had the power one, I had electric foldy mirrors, but sadly they didn't fold when I locked it because they're a Nissan system and Nissan ones of that age don't.
Press a different button, didn't you?
I actually had to press it on the door,
And remember to do it while the key's engaged and ignition's on and all that stuff,
Well, this one had, again, because it was power, it had keyless, but we're now talking about the interior stuff. So it's not as big as a Ford Ranger, but it is longer than most cars here in the UK. Okay, Ford Ranger is the biggest pickup truck on sale, really, in the UK.
Is that bigger than the Amarok?
Standard. Yes.
Oh, really?
I think the Amarok might be wider. Yeah, the Ranger's the biggest.
They're both massively intimidating if you happen to be on the road going through a single lane.
Yeah, it's grey, isn't
bridge, and you happen to meet one at the other side. They're both enormous, but okay, all right.
8 inches of Mercedes-Benz on the front of this. It's amazing what it would let you through.
Mm, okay.
There was a mini cabist trying to play a game of chicken with me. At one point.
And we have to make clear that the Mercedes vehicle was undamaged throughout the
Well, so was his. I would like to point out.
In Alan's careful
it returned in the same state that it came, only slightly dustier, really. Lots of compliments about the looks. It's a very, very handsome vehicle. And what's really nice about it, despite what we've just been saying, is it is handsome and it is kind of imposing, but it not in the same way as some of the, you know, the warrior, vincible, cuda, savage animal.
Yeah, it's not in a because we've thrown a lot of things on it type.
Do you remember I had a barbarian?
Yes.
A little while ago.
In a very subtle shade.
In a very subtle shade. A bright blue! And chrome. And this does without all of that kind of bling on it. Similarly, round here, there's someone in one of the industrial estates nearby who drives a Navara, which is actually, says across the back, and is a sort of aftermarket tuned version. I don't know if it's tuned, but it's actually called an Intimidator. And it's black, and it's just the most terrible enhancer you could imagine. It's just awful. Why would you be seen in that? And yet in this, which shares the same body in white and everything, I did not feel any shame driving this at all. I got lots of compliments on how good looking it was. I didn't feel that I was substituting for anything else, or people would assume I was substituting for something else by driving this. Okay. And to be honest, for me, pickup trucks, that's quite a challenge there. Especially the ones that come with far more chrome on them. An American, I mean, I parked out the front of a hotel at Heathrow, and then an American gentleman made a point of coming up and going, gosh, that is a, you're going, checking the badges and going, that's a Mercedes. That's a really good looking truck. Why don't we get that in the US? And then I told him about the chicken tax and he just kind of looked at me as if I was totally mad.
Well,
that's
plus
why
it's much smaller than anything they drive over there.
It's much smaller than anything they drive. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't want to drive it. They just don't get sold any of the ones at the kind of European size, Japanese size.
I mean, you've got to compete with the F-150, haven't you? And
you can't because of the chicken tax. And if anybody wants to know what the chicken tax is, please do go look it up.
Yep.
Proportions, yeah, covered that one. This one also had two things, two option packs, one of which I would have and one of which I wouldn't.
Okay, can you read them out and then let's see if we can guess?
So the first one was the style package. The style package includes privacy glass.
I think I know.
Privacy glass black, an electric rear window, which is like a little square in the rear window that there's a button which is kind of hidden down by your left knee, which you kind of flick up and down, and it opens this little tiny postage stamp window in the back of it, and it kind of goes click and then bzz, click bzz, and it's I don't know
yeah but that's
for
the sniper
really.
Rifle when you're racing away from the bad people.
You would have to be racing away from the cops.
Racing away from the
yes.
bad people, and your wingman is in the back seat, and they've got you covered.
Yeah. Okay.
Common problem that we have in Britain.
Yes. And there are also running boards, left and right, roof rails anodized, and a 19-inch 6 twin spoke light alloy wheels, and it costs £1,345 plus VAT.
Okay.
There is also the parking package, which includes Parktronic parking sensors, a 360-degree camera, which worked incredibly well, network cameras in the front grille, the wing mirrors, and the tailgate to capture a 360-degree bird's-eye view of the vehicle's immediate surroundings to assist in avoiding obstacles and pedestrians when parking. And it's £915 plus VAT.
How did that compare to the older graphics and stuff that we had when I came down to
Completely
visit
different.
So Completely this different. This is the new modern. Has this got the posh dash, digital dash and all that?
No, it doesn't have it doesn't have digital gauges. It does because this one had another option, which was Command Online. It had an 8-point-something-inch screen, rather than a standard 7-inch screen. 7-inch screen and reversing camera are standard. Certainly on Power and I think on Progressive or Progress or whatever it's called models.
Okay. Right, so going back to the original question.
Which one, Alan,
is it that you'd pay for?
I'd pay for the parking package. The style package is all right.
It's massive. The nature of these beasts are they're big, so.
Yeah, I mean, it just made it easy to park. It actually made it very easy to park.
Rear camera?
Standard.
Where was that?
In the tailgate.
Is it behind the badge?
No, it was in the handley bit.
Okay.
So it didn't go bzzz.
So you'd need to clean that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the style package, the privacy glass was good, and you need that for reasons we'll come to later. The running boards I could live without. The roof rails were nice, and I might consider paying for them as an option. And I wouldn't bother with the 19-inch wheels because actually I prefer the 18-inch ones that come as standard on this model. The 19-inch ones are nice, don't get me wrong. You get a bit more tyre wall, but actually they come as dark grey as standard.
Oh, okay.
And they're a little bit less fussy. I mean, these ones are nice, but the standard ones are nicer.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying. But I'd have the parking package. I think that is worthwhile. I was looking at it and thinking, well, it was quite expensive. It was over £1,000. And then you think, well, it only takes 2 wee dings and you're at £1,000 anyway in repairs. So
how often have we said that the camera stuff just makes life easier?
It is. And you know what's really good on this one, by the way? It was when you were green laning and stuff. Then if you were going forwards, you know how often you get that irritation where you put it into reverse and you reverse. And then you go forwards and you think, well, actually, how close am I to the thing in front and the obstacle? When you go forwards, it shows you from the view at the front, quite low down at the front. And it also shows you where you're going to end up and where your wheels are going, which was really quite good.
Like the 5008 did for me.
Did it. It was really good.
Yeah, I like that feature. I think that is an excellent next step that some OEMs have done with their cameras. And I think it's really good. It's really clever. And it just makes it even easier to use.
It did. It was great. And there was one car park I went into, and the bollards were very close. And it was just really good to be able to know, you know, because bashing the press car isn't big and it isn't clever and it doesn't really get you invited back. So
it is not our plan A.
No,
or B.
Exactly. Yes. So this one took a fair old smack from a pigeon on the wing mirror at one point. And I wasn't even at the speed limit. That was the thing. I was pootling along. I think that was probably what confused the pigeon.
So
it's great anyway. So that's the outside. Other than that, it looks a bit like a pickup truck. But very handsome and not showy.
Well, that's in today's market, that's a bit of a coup to pull that off.
It really
because
is.
So many now are going, I'm all shouty as a pickup. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there's plenty of room for the I'm a pickup without having to be shouty.
Yeah, I mean, someone described it as a pickup truck for management consultants, which I think I was almost offended by.
If only we knew any management consultants.
Well, yeah, I almost took that as a compliment, apart from the fact that my own vehicular choices are partly chosen not to be a management consultant. For the case, I would drive an Audi or a small BMW. Compact BMW.
Okay, interior then.
And I don't. The interior.
Just to be clear, this is Mercedes.
Ooh, yeah. So the interior, this thing, it felt like a Mercedes. With a couple of bonus Nissan-ness points added in. It really was quite... It was so insulated... And just the general feeling was one of good quality. I mean, there were some plastics, which you think, that's not very nice plastic. But generally speaking, when you looked at the dashboard in this one, the air vents, which aren't real metal but look like real metal and are interesting and different and function very well as air vents at the same time, which not necessarily a given.
That's true.
Just really nice. The 8 1/2 inch screen was mounted in its own sort of like iPad type way. And it was all on this surfboard of sort of brushed aluminium effect metal-y stuff. Mm-hmm. And it looked great. It looked brilliant. Instead of the aluminium effect, basic models, lower down models, can get gloss black or something else on the next one up. Or you can also have the choice of it being wood finished if you desire for a small fee. Which looks good as well, by the way. It just looks a bit like one of those kind of pretentious planters you might see on a table in the hallway of a hotel or something. Which has been put there by an interior designer, not by any one human. But it looks great. But as a dashboard, it looks fantastic because it's a nice different texture. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be the first person who ever relates that kind of stuff to the a pickup truck to a BMW i3, but it's that kind of thing. It's not quite what you expect. It's a bit more interior decor than car dashboard, and I think that that's really nice.
Okay. But would it still be hard wearing?
Yeah, well, you don't touch it. That's the thing. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so this is in areas... So somebody's thought about it enough and gone, we can make this look different and special
do you know
without
which vehicle?
It being looking ruined within 6 months of someone who is using a pickup for pickup's sake, not maybe management consultant, and then
well,
going,
for pickups...
but now this is all scratched or knackered or looks horrible. Yeah.
For the trouble is that, yes, you're right for management consultant. For pickup's sake, they get gloss black plastic. The trouble is that's going to show every single bit of dust that lands on it. Hmm. So in actual fact, the fancier ones with a fancier finish are actually probably better and more rugged than the other ones. Not necessarily more rugged, but won't show the dust. But then at the other end of the spectrum, you probably don't care so much. Mm-hmm. It being Nissan-based, by the way, Nissan body in white means that it's engineered completely and properly for right-hand drive, which means that your steering wheel, your pedals, your seat are all nicely lined up.
Oh, I bet you're disappointed because you're such a fan of the typical
I normally
Mercedes
have a good old grumble about Mercedes
seating
driving
position
positions.
For the driver.
Well, that's because the right-hand drive is definitely secondary in the development. You can tell, so it's nice to have it all lining up.
You lot have not heard the moaning he does.
It's true. It's true. Pot, kettle, hello. Space in the back as well, by the way, is really pretty good. I could do the age-old, can I sit behind myself, test, and my knees were barely just touching the pleather on the back of the driver's seat.
Well, that's cool. I could get the the sproglets in them.
Yeah, it is very, it is quite upright, and you do sit really quite high. And for me, with but even with my sort of long back and admittedly stubby wee Scots legs, I wasn't quite touching the headliner with the top of my hair, which is kind of sticky uppy at the minute.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was pretty decent in the back. It's good for storing people. Yeah. The car I had the optional £890 plus VAT black leather. The normal trim for power is Dynamica and Artico. Dynamica is fake furry suedey stuff in Mercedes speak, and Artico is what you would call, is what in a Morris Marina would be called vinyl. It is fake leather.
Okay.
Personally, I don't know that I would bother optioning up to the leather.
Yeah, and it depends on your use case whether you go the
non-pleather
or the pleather.
Yes. So it's Artico in the middle and then pleather on the wear points. Even the posh leather is pleather where you're not touching it, so like the other bits of the seats or that.
Okay.
But it's nice enough, to be honest. It's not sweaty, sticky and shiny like you would find in a marina.
That's good. Fair. We've come on in 40 years.
Yeah, it's still...
It's pleased to hear that about the
motor. It's still vinyl, though. I mean, it's not like MB text. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad had a 200, a W123. W123 200T in red. A879 UUV. There you go. And it had black MB text, which is like the predecessor of Artico. And that stuff could just weld the back of your little legs when you're about 5. It really, yeah, not good. This one also had the command system, which was optional.
What does command do?
Command includes an 8.4-inch high-resolution color display, hard disk drive navigation with a 3D map display, live traffic information, although I'm pretty dubious how well that worked, and Linguatronic voice control. It was fine to use. You got used to it by the end of the week. I kind of knew where I was going. I did always feel there were like 3 clicks too many to get anywhere or to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I can never remember if I had to push down or pull back or push up in a particular situation. It had a little haptic touchy pad thing on the top, but I never really worked out how to use that. I just used the iDrive style knob, which goes underneath. If you're not in the most basic spec, then you get a really good 8-speaker setup. And as standard, you get CD, Bluetooth, DAB, and normal radio with the USB through that 8-speaker stereo. And a 7-point-something-inch screen, which probably isn't quite as high-res. Personally, I would stick with the standard and buy myself a good phone holder with the £2,200 plus VAT that I was saving.
Yes.
Command was fine, but goodness me, that's eye-watering.
Yeah, that is quite... You are going to need to be in that vehicle a lot to justify the use of that, I think.
Yeah, that's not the only nav option. There is also Garmin Map Pilot navigation is optional as well. I can't see the full option list, so I'm not sure how much that was. But, you know, that or just your phone and a good phone holder.
Did it have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto?
Nope.
Okay.
There you go. That's that answered.
Yep.
The interior was really nice, fantastic, really car-like. However, what it wasn't was very pickup-like. There is always a however, and I'm trying not to make this into one of the I have a small whinge with the interior, which is obligatory in any motoring review ever, anywhere. But what it wasn't very good at as an interior was being the interior of a pickup truck. Because there was just no oddment space. There was nowhere for stuff. that's needed in work vehicles.
So you're talking like paperwork, you're talking pens, yeah. tape yeah. measures.
Yeah, there was a cubby cups. Under your elbow. Cups, yeah, cups. There was a cubby under your elbow, which was all right. It was relatively deep. It was maybe 6 inches deep and definitely not square. And it had a 12-volt socket in there. Mm-hmm. There was a 12-volt socket for the rear passengers. There was another 12-volt socket in the back, in the dashboard. So you weren't short of 12-volt sockets.
Okay, you can charge things.
You can charge things, but it wasn't really possible. Also, the USB port was in there as well, so your phone ended up kind of dangling out. But it wasn't possible to hold... It wasn't possible to have a coffee cup and two phones stored anywhere in the cabin. If you wanted to store paperwork and stuff, you were going to have to store it in a door pocket.
Okay.
You could hold water bottles and stuff in the door pocket, but you wouldn't want to put a coffee there.
No.
So there was a lack of little oddmenty trays and things, or clips for stuff, or a storage bit in the middle at the top, which is what the Navara has. And that's one of the things that stuff like a Hilux does really, really well. And the Isuzu D-Max does that well as well. It's got space for these things. So like, it's not unusual for someone who drives pickup truck for work to have two telephones, a work phone and a non-work phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that kind of thing is going to be a wee bit of an irritation. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a shame because it's a really nice place to be.
Just needs really nice place more to be. Bitty storage.
More bitty storage.
If it's going to be used as a proper pickup.
Yes. And not if as you're a going management to be towing consultant. Things and, well, even for a management consultant, it was a bit irritating sometimes.
Because you pretended to be that one.
Yes. I pretended to be both. Because I took it to a plant and plant show and stuff. Not plants as in chrysanthemums.
No,
plants
as yes, in I know what you mean.
All right. No, I know you know. It's just I know what our listeners are like as well.
Come on then. So what's it like behind the wheel?
Well, as I said, 2.3 litre, four-cylinder engine, 7-speed auto, 190 metric horses and 450 newton meters of torque.
That seems quite a lot of torque for not mega amounts of metric horses.
Well, that's normal because it's a diesel, remember? Mm. It's a diesel. It's a little bit old school diesel. Switchable, two high, four high, and then four low with a centre diff locked. It is possible to get an optional locking rear diff. You can also get optional underbody protection straight from the factory. And you can also get an optional 2-inch lift. I think it's 2 inches. For off-road and work use straight from the factory.
Okay.
As well as winter tyres and off-road tyres as well are all on the options list. What that was incredibly smooth. Okay. What it wasn't was fast. The 0 to 60 time is measured in
days.
Seasons. Yeah. and that's not really helped by the fact that I think it was something like 16 or 19 seconds, 0 to 60, to give you some idea of the ballpark. It was under 20 seconds anyway, so that's good. It wasn't really helped by the fact that the engine and gearbox could get quite agricultural. When I say agricultural, I don't mean it started to sound like a tractor, because it didn't. You didn't really hear engine note that much at all. The cabin was so well insulated, it was mostly silent. It sounded more like a cow giving birth.
Wow, that doesn't sound right. I'm no expert.
It just made this noise if you pushed it hard.
So it made an annoying noise without much reaction.
With very little to show for it. So as a result, I ended up driving in the first, unless I had to, I ended up driving like the first 30 to, if at all, if even that much, 30 to 50% of the throttle travel, and very rarely above that.
You must have been zen-like.
It was wonderful. It was great. And the thing was that once you like that, you think, well, okay, there's no point in hoofing it. There goes the agricultural references again. It's you just think, okay, well, there's no point in putting my foot down. It's an unpleasant experience, but not putting my foot down is an incredibly pleasant experience. It was really
because of the
nice.
Isolation in the cabin as well, and the good ride.
The isolation and the good ride, and we'll come to the ride in just a tick, but yeah, and the good ride, and all these things. You felt no need to put your foot down. I got stuck in traffic right the way on the first afternoon, right the way through Leicester. Yeah, exactly. Right the way through Leicester for about 25 miles up the M1 from Leicester, because I was heading up to Derbyshire. And I didn't care. I put on a country music mix to sort of go with the theme. And just chilled out to people singing about their pickup trucks and all these kind of things. The side effect of that was that my average was in the low 30s over about 600 miles, which included quite a bit of sitting idling whilst green laning and a few miles of green laning as well. On the run up from Heathrow on Monday night, in quite a lot of traffic, which never quite stopped, I got almost 40 to the gallon.
Wow.
Exactly. So the trade-off for
the
noise...
almost the size of my house.
Yeah, exactly. For the trade-off for the deterrent, that it didn't like being pushed, the answer, if you could get around it, was to simply not push it. And that in itself made it better. I know that sounds silly. I wish it didn't make that noise in the first place. But actually, when you just use light throttle application, it was such a delightful place to be. Normally, I find pickup ride, or the ride in a pickup, hard, and it's not really helping, is it? Hard and jiggly. And especially when, you know, I'm giving it a worst case scenario all the time because I'm not running with stuff in the back,
yeah,
which would even up the weight distribution. And normally you get this bounce that goes on. I decided that partly the reason I found bumps a bit annoying was because for once I was driving a vehicle with a wheelbase long enough that you felt it twice. As opposed to my own vehicles with wheelbases so tiny, it's like bump straight through it. There were a couple of times when it just felt a bit wibbly in the middle. Because you know how pickup trucks are like ants. They've got like a bit at the front, a bit at the back, yeah, and then there's this narrow bit with no torsional rigidity in the middle. And often you really, really feel that. It happened a couple of times, but I couldn't recreate it by driving at stuff. I even tried intentionally hitting level crossings at an angle and stuff, because I'm that kind of evil person, and I couldn't repeat it.
You misphrased. Sorry, I'm a thorough and full testing regime.
Well, I was hoping that people would read that inference into it.
Be explicit. Don't let people be explicit.
No. Yeah, because I was trying to be thorough, and the thing was, I couldn't replicate it. I basically come to the conclusion that the problem wasn't with the vehicle, the problem was with the road. Because around here, it can get decidedly third world, particularly in town.
Yes.
And that sort of, sitting about 30 was when it felt least comfortable.
Okay.
So if you're going slowly and you're off-roading, it was great, it was super comfy. If you're on A-roads, motorways, outside of town, really good.
Cool.
The outcome of this was that it drove like a Mercedes. Sod the Nissan underpinnings.
So what do you mean
that
then?
We've talked about. It just felt like I was driving a Mercedes.
So you came to the conclusion of what you were told when you,
yes,
made the mistake of making a comment a bit too close to a Mercedes person.
Yes.
You came to that conclusion, you went, actually, this is nothing like.
Yes. This is nothing like, because to be honest, I haven't driven a current generation Navara.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But I don't care if it feels like a Navara or not. What I care about is that it feels like a Mercedes.
Okay.
Which is what the massive badges on the front and the back are. and it felt like a Mercedes. It had that same waftability.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been in the jacked up E-Class or S-Class. Definitely an E-Class. Probably not an S-Class. S-Class would be even smoother. But it felt... Driving it was like driving. It was the same feeling that you get when you're in a Mercedes taxi in Germany. A new Mercedes taxi in Germany. Let me qualify that a bit. Not one that's done 300,000 miles is what I'm trying to say here, by the way. So anything up to like 200,000 miles is, you know, yeah.
Okay.
And yet still the interior is immaculate. So it was that kind of, it was that Mercedes feeling.
So if it's the Mercedes feeling.
Amazing.
It must have not felt very pickup-y.
No, it was definitely the most car-like pickup I've ever driven.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It felt car-like.
It felt very car-like.
Do you think, so going on a slight aside here, because this is something I've wondered, but do you think that is a step that the OEMs are trying to do anyway? Is
what the manufacturers are trying to do?
Is
I don't know.
Is to broaden the appeal of these vehicles, therefore they are not just aimed at people who need workhorses.
I think that's been happening for a while.
Mm.
Is this one of the more successful,
less workhorsey type feeling ones, do you think?
I think it's a gap that Mercedes need to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has been a gap in their... Okay. Yeah. Okay, it's been... The pickup truck has been a gap in Mercedes offering to commercial vehicle buyers and fleet buyers. So remember, you're buying this from Mercedes-Benz vans, not from your Mercedes car dealership. Hence the difference in the way stuff is priced.
Yep.
Mercedes-Benz have a huge fleet offering. They can offer you everything from the Actros down via the Arok, down via the Sprinter, the Vito, the other one that's a Kangoo.
Citan.
And this has been the sort of missing link in Mercedes-Benz being able to offer you everything from this week they were showing off electric versions, from a small electric delivery van right for last mile delivery, right the way from the full I am crossing a continent this week with a gross train weight of 44 ton. Mercedes have been able to offer you the entire spectrum in between. So it's been a gap they've needed to fill.
Oh, good God. You know our conversation we had not long ago about the whole...
mobility.
Well, not the mobility one, but the one about if you subscribe. They can now hit every single need.
Mercedes-Benz can hit every single need from C-segment hatch upwards.
That's impressive.
No, they can go, and they can do sub A as well, remember?
Yes.
They can do A and sub, no, sub A. Yeah, it's, no, sub A and A, because they've got the smart for four.
Yep.
The only thing they're missing, really, is a B segment.
What's B segment there you go. Again?
Fiesta.
Is that not the 4.2? The 4.4?
No, that's A segment, which is I-10. A Hyundai I-10, or equivalent. Right.
Sorry, digress. Digress, but no.
We have to digress terribly, but this is why it exists. Mm-hmm. And I think that being Mercedes-Benz, they have to offer a fancy version as well as the pure, which is the sort of... what I think of as the A-Plant edition. So it's the kind that you buy...
It's the one you're going to rent.
You don't necessarily buy them individually. You will lease them for a period of time for your workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why I think it exists.
Okay.
They have to have that to have the full set of top drums.
Yes, they've now won.
Yeah. There's no one. And now that they've got it, they can do what they want with it.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
For example, the X350D is now out, which has flappy paddles for the gearbox and a bit more power. If you are towing, whilst the 250D can and is rated to tow the full 3.5 tons braked trailer weight, which is the maximum it would be allowed, then I think the 350D might be more pleasant if you do that kind of thing a lot.
Okay.
But I don't know what the difference in price is. And of course, those 400 torques mean that just because it doesn't build speed quickly doesn't mean it's going to build it any slower if you're towing a large trailer as well. So, you know, there's quite a lot of stuff in there and around that. One of the things that's unusual in the class is that, of course, one of the things that they've got in, which means that you can, they can tune it this well, is that the Navara and the X-Class have coil-sprung rear suspension rather than leaf springs like most of the class does.
Hmm. Which I think, listening to other people's reviews and reading them, seems to not help the jitteriness of a back end.
No. Well, when you've got that solid rear axle, which this still has, it's not fully independent. I think only the Tiguan has an independent rear end. I'm not sure.
Amarok.
Not sure about that. Please. Amarok. Thank you. Yeah, whatever. Pickup truck for dentists is what I think of it.
Jesus.
Guy down the road from my parents has one in there. Dentist, he has no reason to have a pickup truck. There you go.
He lives in very the lifestyle. And...
No, he's not. He's at the top of a hill.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, he's not. Anyway. He's halfway up the hill. Parents are at the top.
Ignoring other pickups. So, technology then. It must be festooned.
Nothing fancy. No, there's not really anything worth talking about. Well, we've talked
about
the...
You've mentioned
it. We've talked about the cameras. We've talked about the command. There is really nothing else. It's not as if it has a fancy drivetrain.
For me, the cameras are not so much a nice to have,
important.
A vital.
They were important when talking about the exterior. This was my justification.
No. But the need for them, I think, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the size of the vehicle, but also... You know, because of how tight it's going to be in parking spaces and just getting around in urban areas.
Yes.
Yeah. So okay, then. So that just leaves us with what did you think?
It's an excellent pickup pretending to be a car.
Okay.
It is flawed in that by its pickupness. It's way too long, and there is no storage space. And I don't mean there's no storage space for pens and stuff. I mean, if you've got the pickup cabin, you've got the bed at the back, which is fine if you need outdoor stuff or you're carrying loads of stuff. But if you're a normal person who uses a car, there is nowhere to store stuff. My little suitcase... A little normal mammoth suitcase that I use for one or two nights had to be strapped into the back seat to put it in a safe and secure place. And that's just a bit annoying. And that's why you need the privacy glass, because people can see in and they can see that. You know, there's no stuff is visible. You know, stuff is visible.
Mm-hmm.
So the weird thing about pickups is there's no real storage and it's just too big.
So would you get one of those aftermarket hard tops on it?
No, because that doesn't really solve it. You've still got that is still outside. And the trouble is that then the storage space in the back is too big. Unless you're filling that all the time, stuff swings around.
Okay.
Or you're putting dogs in the back. Mm. Or yeah. And it's a flaw that all pickup trucks have. This is something that happens when you buy a pickup truck. Doesn't matter if it's this, doesn't matter if it's an L200, a Hilux, whatever. It's a problem with pickup trucks as cars. As pickup trucks, they're awesome. My worry with this is that I'm not sure how good a pickup truck it is if you need it for pickup truck stuff. If drivability, that excellent drivability and that fantastic interior are not your primary concerns... You maybe want to be looking at something else. possibly it's going to be cheaper and more disposable, or just, yeah.
Okay.
Generally more sort of pickup trucky rugged.
Wouldn't be quite so upset if you dented.
Exactly. I mean, it reminds me, I was thinking earlier on about this as I was writing on this. Reminds me of when I went to France on French exchanges when I was at school, the guy I went to stay with, his uncle had delivered oil, fuel oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a full Mercedes-Benz fleet. Everything was Mercedes. His cars were Mercedes, all his tractor units were Mercedes, all his rigids were Mercedes. There was an exception. The exception was his Land Cruiser, which was also liveried. And I said, well, why do you not have a Mercedes off-roader? Well, it's, you know, you get it serviced at Mercedes because they deal with all your other stuff, so they might as well. They do it as a favour. He said, oh, the trouble is that, you see, if I dent this, I'm just have to pay Toyota prices. If I dent a Mercedes, I have to buy new Mercedes panels and stuff, and that's really expensive. And I worry that that's one of the things about the pickupness, really, is they get bashed. I know they get bashed. We have a fleet of them.
Well, especially if it's 50K.
We don't have a fleet anymore, especially if it's 50K. So this is really the management one. Everyone else gets their pure ones, and management gets this one. So, of course, I'm just like you. I'm driving a Mercedes. I'm driving a pickup. And look, you're driving a Mercedes.
Hmm.
Which is, you know, it's a sales point of a sort. Summary of this is I really liked it lots. I just wouldn't have one because I don't have the right use case for it.
Yes, we've talked offline about this, and I was surprised at how much you liked the chilledness of it because of the way you had to drive it.
I do actually like chilled out cars, by the way.
Without it annoying the heck out of you or whatever, or without it just being an unpleasant experience, to make it a pleasant, just to drive along, you just chilled out and drove, and it sounded like such a nice thing to do. I mean, as you said there, you know, well, I had time to think about things and all the rest of it.
It was delightful. I wish it was 2 feet shorter.
Mm.
I wish it was 2 feet shorter and it was like the Shogun Sport that they've just done for Mitsubishi, where it's essentially an L200 with a
fixed sort of top,
estate car, yeah, on the back, fixed top, which you can access from the cabin. Do you know what? That would be the best. That would be the Mercedes I'd have.
Mm. Make it a two-door as well, with the seats behind.
No. The four-door's just fine.
Just removable four-door would
be
just fine.
And that, do you know what? That would be an incredibly tempting. It would be an incredibly tempting vehicle. It would, because it would be, it's quite classy, it's quite nice. I mean, they'll never do it, because they've got so many other GL whatevers, which are all a bit, they do not appeal to my tastes.
Yes, well done.
They can be a little showy, perhaps, sometimes. It depends on the spec, though, to be perfectly honest. And I wouldn't have one because of the flaws of it being a pickup truck. If it wasn't a pickup truck but was very, very close to this, then it would be incredibly tempting. The trouble is it's made me know how much I miss the Veyacross, which has other impacts. And I'm just glad that, to be honest, we had a dad and a pickup truck that we sold the other week, and I'm glad that it was sold before I had this. Otherwise, I might have gone, ooh, actually, don't sell that. I could live on my driveway. So I'm quite glad that that went first. And then there has been some looking up of short wheelbase automatic off-road cars, because I really do miss that. I like this a lot, by the way. If you are looking for a pickup truck if you go for the pure, for fleet use, if you go for the poor, oh, gee, what a, is that a spoonerism? I don't know. The pure. If you go for the progressive, is a far more middle of the road. Oh, gee, I'm hitting them all tonight. Isn't it? It is later than we normally record, I should point out. It's the progressive is, you know, cloth interior, not quite all the toys, but perfectly pleasant and passable, and is probably overall the sweet spot in the range.
Mm-hmm.
The one I had, it's worth mentioning very quickly, is actually... is exactly the same spec, and I'm sure it's a coincidence, with the they're doing an X-Class Powerline Edition 1 Special Edition, which you can buy online from mbvans.co.uk. The spec of mine is identical to the spec of that Edition 1, to the point where I'd say it was possibly the prototype for it. Go on there. You can have a little bit of look at the finance quotes and stuff for that, and you can do it all online to work out what it's worth, how much it would cost, and all that kind of thing. One thing that's worth mentioning, by the way, is that company car tax and fuel duty is different because this is a commercial vehicle. And in many cases, for a £50,000 commercial vehicle, it's very different and significantly lower than for a £50,000 SUV.
So if you were a very clever management consultant.
Yes, yeah, so if you're a management consultant, maybe, you know, tows a horse box or something. Tows a race car. Then look at this. That's what I'd be doing. Liked it lots, really actually enjoyed having it and was quite sad to see it go.
Well, that's the vibe I got off you. That you like this a lot. So that's cool.
I wouldn't have as much stuff on it as this one. But, yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good first stab at this market by Mercedes.
Awesome first stab at this market by Mercedes. The great thing is they've teamed up with people who've been doing this for years and years and years and are already pretty good at it. So, excellent.
Cool.
Excellent stuff. Anyway, should we round up there?
I think so.
Well, don't forget, folks, that between now and the next time, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget to leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter. Andrew, best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me is via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And if people would like to get in touch with you, Alan, and discuss more about this first foray of Mercedes into the pickup world, what's the best way to do that?
It's awesome alliteration. It's via Twitter, where I am at AJP Bradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. We'll be back before very long, but until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.